his radio station, KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Everywhere you go, there is trouble. Everywhere you go, there is strife. Everywhere you go, there is something that worries you. But remember, oh yeah. Everywhere you go, there is trouble. Everywhere you go, there is strife. Everywhere you go, there is something that worries you. But remember, God is standing by. God is standing near. Jesus, he'll be right there. Wait a minute, let me tell you, he's rolling dark clouds away. He'll hear you when you pray.
Oh, yes.
He'll hear you when you call.
Yes.
He'll catch you before you fall.
Oh, yes.
Jesus, he'll be your friend.
Yes.
Right till the end. Oh, God. Jesus, he'll be right there.
He's everywhere.
Wait a minute, let me tell you. He's rolling dark clouds away. He'll hear you when you pray.
Oh, yes.
He'll hear you when you call.
Yes.
He'll catch you before you fall.
Oh, yes.
My Jesus, he'll be your friend.
Yes.
Everywhere you go, there is trouble. Everywhere you go, there is strife. Everywhere you go, there is something that worries you. But remember, let me tell you again, he's rolling dark clouds away. He'll hear you when you pray. He'll hear you when you call. He'll catch you before you fall. My Jesus, he'll be your friend. Right till the end. Oh, God. Oh, God.
God bless you. For our youth choir and our adult choir, as we stand all over this place, hallelujah. I want to call your attention to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be praised. Come on, everybody, and praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. He's worthy. Jesus is worthy. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege, and we pray, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts, a word that will remind us that you're God and God all by yourself. We thank you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. There you will find these words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. In the presence of the Lord, we thank God for each of you today as we have gathered here in the house of the Lord on this first Sunday of this new year. To those who watch by way of Facebook, we are so delighted and excited that you've chosen to join with us virtually, amen, as we honor and praise and worship our God. I am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that one of the many reasons that we walk, some of us, in defeat and in agony, thank you, ushers, thank you so much, is because we have not allowed Jesus Christ, our Savior, to become Jesus Christ, our Lord. Tell your neighbor, he wants to be the Lord of your life. Amen. We willingly and openly accept him as Savior, but I've come by to tell you that you've got to reach out a little deeper, because not only does he want to be your Savior, he wants to be the Lord. In other words, he wants to have control over your life. Now, that is something that we as Americans, we as modern day people are not accustomed to, and that is allowing anything or anybody to have control over us. But if you're gonna win the fight, if you're gonna win the battle, if you're gonna be everything that God wants you to be, you've got to reach a point in your walk with God where you say, Lord, not only do I want you to be my Savior, but I want you to be my Lord. I want you to have control. I need to tell you right here that there are costs associated with making him Lord of your life. I said there are costs. Amen. In other words, you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to give up some stuff. When you make that commitment, when you make that determination that, yes, Jesus, you can be the Lord of my life. I think I need to also tell you that there is a proof of his lordship. There's a way you can verify. There's a way you can prove that he is the Lord over your life. Do you want to know what the proof of his lordship is? It's when you become obedient to him. Amen. You can very easily determine whether or not he's the Lord over your life by asking yourself, by assessing how obedient you are to his will, to his word, and to his way. Is there anybody in here other than Pastor who can say, I got a little more work to do, a little more work to do? Amen. Amen. There are costs, and there is this proof that he's the Lord, but I need to also tell you that not only are there costs associated with him being the Lord of your life, amen, there are benefits when he becomes Lord of your life. Oh my, oh my. Let me tell you, one of the benefits is that, amen, it's not that you won't have haters, it's not that you won't have enemies, but the good news is that when he becomes Lord over your life, those haters and those enemies can't bother you. Oh my, I'm talking about the devil. I'm talking about some folk on your job. I'm talking about some of your neighbors. I like, there's a show that comes on A&E called Neighborhood Wars. And it shows these fights between neighbors, sometimes over little trivial stuff. Amen. But I don't care what kind of battles you face in your life. If Jesus is truly the Lord of your life, your enemies cannot win. Your haters cannot win. Amen. How many of you know that's a benefit? That's a benefit. Amen. So what I've come by to tell us today in this new year is that if we want to win, if we want to have success, we've got to get comfortable with Jesus being the Lord of our lives. We've got to reach that place where we're comfortable saying, Lord, I know what I want to do, but Pastor Garner said that if I'm going to win this life's battles, I've got to do what you want me to do. Amen. Hallelujah. I know I got one or two witnesses. Amen. You're not 100 yet, but you're on your way. Amen. So we will admit that Jesus wants to be Lord. We will all say amen to the fact that he wants to be Lord. But when it comes time to allow him to act out his lordship in our lives, we tune out that message. We don't want to hear that. Amen. Amen. Please understand that God would not tell us something that would bring harm into our lives. He loves us. How much does he love us? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If God loved you so much that he was willing to give the best that he had for you, then when he tells you that he wants to be Lord of your life, you need to know right off the bat that he's not telling you that to hurt you. He's telling you that because he wants to make your life better. Amen. He wants nothing more than that we should prosper and have good success. And for this cause, I want to talk about this whole lordship issue. And I chose this particular passage because it talks about rest in two instances there. Amen. Amen. In verse 28, he says, I will give you rest. But then in verse 29, he says that, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I want to suggest to us this morning that the first rest he's talking about in verse 28 has to do with salvation. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For me, that's a description of salvation. Amen. He says here, to all who are laboring to regain fellowship with God. Y'all do know that that's what religion is all about, right? Amen. Y'all do know that that's why we're coming here. This ain't a social club, amen. But we come here Sunday after Sunday and week after week, and we pray and we praise and we do all of that because we want to have a right relationship with God. Well, in order to understand that, you need to know where the relationship broke down. It broke down way back in the Garden of Eden. Uh-huh. when God, amen, created Adam, God created man, gave him a helpmeet by the name of Eve, and told them that this place is for you to enjoy and to flourish and to thrive. Amen. But they couldn't do it God's way. They couldn't be obedient. And so they messed up. They ate of that tree that God told them not to touch. And because of that, sin entered into the world. And we die even today because of that sin. And so we are trying to get a right relationship with God. The good news is that we couldn't get that right relationship through the law. Amen. We failed miserably when we were trying to do it through the law. But thank God, Jesus says here that if you come unto him, you can have rest. How many of you know that's a description of salvation? Amen. Amen. And so if you're laboring to establish a right relationship with God, Jesus says, in essence, you can stop struggling to regain this relationship. He says, in essence, you can stop trying to follow a list of rules and regulations to get the relationship right. He says, all you need to do is come unto me. Not Pastor Garner, come unto Jesus. Can you imagine how miserable, how burdened those persons must be who are truly seeking fellowship with God, but they're trying to establish this fellowship by living by some laws? By some rules? Can you imagine how burdened they must be? Because the tragedy of the law is that if you're guilty at one point, the law says if you're guilty at one point, you're guilty of all of it. Which says, you know, because we got some finger pointers. We got folk who like to sit back and say, well, he did this or she did that. Amen. But they forget that when you point a finger out there, you got three or four fingers pointing back at you. And the law said that you may not have stole anything, but you told a lie. And because of your lie, you're not just guilty of being a liar. You're guilty of being a thief. You're guilty of being a murderer. You're guilty of it all. That was the lot of humanity before Jesus Christ came. And I don't know how y'all feel about it, but I thank God for grace. I thank God that I don't have to keep a bunch of rules and I got to keep them, but those rules and those regulations don't justify me before God. It is my relationship with Christ. It is because I believe that he died on the cross for my sins and for my shortcomings. I believe it in my heart. I've confessed it with my mouth, and because of my faith in Christ, me and God is good. I know that English ain't right, but amen. How many of you know the theology is right? That if you are in a right relationship with Christ, if you believe that he died for your sins, that he paid the sin price, amen, you are in good standing with his Father. Somebody ought to say, Lord, I thank you. See, before Christ came, folk were trying to be good enough by keeping the law. But Isaiah said that at our very best, we ain't nothing but filthy rags in the sight of God. So Jesus had to come and die. Amen. Amen. Our walk is too crooked. Our tongues are too vile. Our thoughts are too impure to be found perfect in the sight of God based upon our own merit. You can wear a nice tie. You can wear a long dress, a dark suit. You can stop drinking and stop smoking. You can stop overeating. You can stop eating pork. You can worship on Saturday. You can pray three times a day. You can fast. You can read the Bible backwards and forwards from beginning to end. But if your only way back to God is through the law, you are miserable and heavy laden. Because as Paul said, every time you think about doing good, I said, Paul said, not Garner. And I assure you, Paul was a better Christian than me. But Paul said that every time he thought about doing good, evil would show up. Oh, I got some witnesses up in here. Paul said that the stuff that I want to do, that's the stuff I don't do. And the stuff that I don't want to do, That's the stuff I end up doing. Paul said, I'm in a terrible shape. Sister Green, I'm in a bad predicament. But then he raised the question. He said, who can deliver me from this death? And then he said, thank God it has been done through Jesus Christ, our Savior. If he's your Savior, give him praise right through there. Give him praise. Jesus says, I know you're trying to do right. I know you're trying to be justified and saved by this law, but guess what? You can't do it. So just come to me and you can rest. Just put down your little law book and I will give you rest. Rest from trying to keep all of these rules. Rest from trying to keep all of these regulations. Just come to me and I will give you rest. So we find that when we accept Christ as our Savior, he gives us rest. But y'all, we can't just be satisfied with the first rest. In verse 28, we can't be just satisfied with being saved. We can't just be satisfied with salvation. It's just like when the children of Israel marched out of Egypt. The Bible says that Moses led them out of Egypt. Amen. Amen. They were freed from bondage, but they weren't in the promised land yet. And so when we talk about being saved, yeah, we're free from the bondage of sin, but we have not yet arrived to where God is trying to get us. And what I've come by today to tell us is that if we're going to get to that place that God is trying to get us, we've got to thank him for salvation. But we've got to take the next step and say, now, Savior, I need you to be my Lord. Uh-huh. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Is there anybody in here who can admit that you really do need him to be your Lord? Yes. Some of y'all ain't saying nothing. Let me help you. Let me help you. Let me tell you why some of y'all need to be testifying right through here. Yeah, I really need him to be my Lord. Because even though I'm saved, my tongue ain't 100% saved yet. Some of y'all won't admit you still cuss every now and then. You may do it under your breath, but amen. And some of y'all won't admit that your cabinet ain't just full of grape juice and apple juice. Come on, some of you can't. That ain't your testimony. That it's just water in there. Now don't go in that cabinet, baby. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I need him to take control of my whole life, because I'm your pastor, but I ain't all the way there yet. Amen. Still got some stuff. You know, Paul said, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Where are my folk who are willing to admit that, yes, sin is easy to come upon. Hey, temptation is easy. It's always around. Amen. You can have your Bible under your arm and the devil will send something by you to just distract you from every scripture in the book. Come on, tell him thank you today. Tell him thank you. The way we win the battle, the way we win the war is not in our own strength, because we're weak. But when I'm weak, oh, I'm so glad he's strong. That's why I want to make him the Lord of my life. Amen. Oh, man. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I think I ought to tell you that sometimes I go to the Lord crying because I've messed up, because I've fallen short, because I've sinned. And I ain't ashamed to tell you that there are many times I have to fall on my knees in my living room. Amen. And tell God I messed up. Amen. God, I'm sorry. I missed the mark. And if there are other Christians in here, then I know I'm not by myself. Because the problem ain't that you feel bad about sinning. The problem comes in when you don't feel bad about sinning. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I'm so glad that every time I go to him, amen, he doesn't turn me away. He doesn't say, get out of my face, get out of my presence. He says, what'd you do this time? And I tell him what I did, and he goes in his book of sin and transgression, and he goes through there, and he finds it. He said, oh, you all right. I died for that one, too. Oh my, oh my. Is there anybody glad that he died for your every sin, for your every transgression, for your every shortcoming? There ain't a one you can name, amen, other than blaspheming the Holy Ghost.